Happy New Year, everyone. This is Martin Willis, your host, and we're drawing the winner of the brand new iPad Mini and five really cool swag bags. This is compliments of gemmer.com. That's G-E-M-R.com. It's a place where people can connect and collect, and that's coming up in just a moment. This is a pre-recorded show, but I'm not editing a darn thing. It's going to seem like a live show, even if I make mistakes. And that includes when I'm with Alejandro Rojas coming up. And we're going to be talking about events in 2014. And I'm sure we're going to stray a bit from there. Well, in the second hour, we have amateur astronomer Andy Fleming across the pond. He's going to be reflecting on ufology in 2014. Plus, a number of clips that I chose from what I consider pretty good shows of 2014 with a little monologue in between. So I hope you enjoy it. It's going to be a different type of show this time. So if you want to subscribe to hear the second hour of any of our podcasts, go to getjoyride.com/podcastUFO. The link is right on our website, podcastufo.com. Subscribers pay only $1 a month or more to access the full two-hour show. And that also includes a private link that you can hook right into iTunes or any other media player. And if you have any questions or problems or concerns, just email me at martin@podcastufo.com. Again, I said I'm not going to edit, so you got me the way I am. But we are ready to draw the winner. So how you doing, Natalia? It's my lovely assistant.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Thank you. And okay, so I, in front of me, you can picture this. I have a kind of an antique picture. It's kind of a mosaic piece, kind of nice, and it's full of names. And we're going to be drawing them out. And the first one is going to be the winner of the iPad Mini. And reach in, if you will, Natalia, and pull out.
And the lucky one.
You having a hard time reading it?
MS Nonorus.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what? I'm having a hard time reading this one. I'm not sure who you are, but congratulations. It's MSNOUNOURS. I don't know what kind of username that is, but congratulations. You won a brand new iPad Mini. Congratulations. All right. Again, that's MSNOUNOURS. Okay, now we're going to draw five more, and these are for swag bags.
Okay,
you had to pick the hardest
second
name.
One. Nina Mink?
Oh, Nina Mink. I can't believe Nina Mink. She had trouble signing up. Nina Mink, you won a swag bag. Okay, go ahead. That one was easy to read.
The third winner?
Another hard one.
Scott
Sikora. Oh, my goodness. Scott Sikora was actually my first listener. Thank you, Scott. He listened. He somehow found my very first podcast. Congratulations, Scott, for a swag bag. I know. He's saying, why not the iPad Mini, right?
Next one. Ludmilla.
Ludmilla for a swag bag. Don't we have two more?
Bruce Rayner.
And here's the last one, the last winner for a swag bag full of cool stuff.
Christopher Ranking.
Well, okay. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Natalia.
Happy New Year again. It was nice talking to all of you.
Thank you. All right. Now we have Alejandro is coming right up. Congratulations, everyone, and thank you for participating. And we're going to move right along to Alejandro Rojas. How is it going? Let's get down to business, Alejandro.
business it shall be then. Yeah, congratulations to the iPad Mini winner. I thought I was supposed to win it, and then I was going to give it back to you.
Yeah, it was fixed, but, you know, they intervened. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, some men in black showed up.
Well, congratulations anyway.
They intervened.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they made sure that you did it right.
These
must have been the good men in black.
Yeah, and
wow.
When I looked up the username of the person that won, it's one of those black-eyed kids, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What if, like, the Will Smith scenario, you know, the movies, that the men in black are actually good guys?
Yeah. Hey, you never know.
Yeah.
Another mystery solved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this show, this hour, is going to be really a reflection, and a lot of it is all of it is your hard work. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what has happened in 2014. And you go ahead and spill it, and let's talk about some stories that happened. And by the way, none of this is being edited. I made that promise to the listener that I'm going to make this as close to a live show as possible. And I don't care how we goof up, and I already goofed up like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, you have.
I'm just going to run it. Because actually, I'm running out of time. The producer of the Dark Matter Radio Network has got a skedaddle, and he says, give me the file now. So it's currently 6 o'clock Eastern time, and I've got, you know, when I get this thing done, it's off to him, and it's done.
I'm going to say so many bad words.
You have your chance.
Yeah.
All right. So let's try to keep it clean and tell me what's been happening over this last year.
Well, lots of stuff. There's been some UFOs and stuff. Well, actually, there's a couple things. I wrote a story called Top UFO Videos, and that is now not on the front page anymore because we've got other stories. But if you click articles at openminds.tv, you'll find it, and I'm sure you'll have a link on your site. But I wrote about the top videos, and then I also put a lot of links towards the end to some of the good stories from the year because – I was surprised when I compiled this how many great stories there were and what an important year this was for the UFO field. So people can follow along by looking at that. But there are a couple things that weren't in there, and I guess we could start off with that. And those are – and I sent you these links so you can put them on the page. Those are the Chilean official UFO government organization CEFA-A and astrobiology. Those have been two important stories this year. So we'll just get into that. Are you familiar with CEFA-A?
Oh, yes. Matter of fact, I've had Jose Lai on the show.
Yeah.
And a great guy. And he and I became buddies down in North Carolina.
Yeah, that's right. That's where we met. And was it North Carolina or South Carolina?
I thought
it was south.
I thought we were in North Carolina.
I don't know where the hell we were, but it was cool because there were a lot of important people that were out there, including representatives from France's Japan, and there was Jose Lay. There was a Belgian general who investigated the Belgian UFO wave, Richard Haynes from NARCAP. So you're right, a lot of really important people. And what's great about CEFA-A and the Chilean organization, I've interviewed him, and we had General Bermudez, who's in charge of the organization, at our UFO Congress. And years ago, you know, at the Congress, well, just a couple of years ago, he said his major goal was to unite all of these government organizations to create a worldwide network where government and, you know, serious investigators in this field can cross-check information and create this worldwide network. And he's really moved forward on that. In fact, this year, I think one of the newest, latest story, which is a really exciting one, is Japan has this organization they work with called the Aeronautical and Astronautical Association of France. Their acronym is 3AF. And they are similar to our United States American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics, which is a very prestigious society made up of mostly engineers and aeronautical engineers, people in aerospace, and people who just have a professional interest in that field. Well, the French version, 3AF, has a group called Sigma that investigates UFOs. And they work with GEPAN in investigating UFOs. These guys, we wrote a story about them a couple years ago, and we actually had their representative at the Congress one year, too. He just spoke French, so it was difficult. But they wrote a report on UFOs where they supported the conclusions of another famous UFO report by engineers and military people, several years ago, called the Cometa Report, which people are familiar with. These are both private organizations, not governmental. But they concluded that UFOs are real and that they are possibly of extraterrestrial origin. So 3AF recently said they agree with that, and they've been working with GEPAN to do the science behind the investigation on their UFO cases. And now they've signed an agreement. Representatives from CEFAA went out to France, and they had some meetings. And 3AF says now they will assist Chile in doing that. I think that's a big deal because, you know, these are some major international relations. Some other important stories from CEFAA that came out this year were that they met with other government officials. And what's interesting is these government officials all came to the table with the foregone conclusion that UFOs are real and possible extraterrestrial spacecraft. They wanted to determine whether they were a danger or not. They all met and they decided that there was no malicious intent displayed by the actions of UFOs. The only danger posed is by distracting pilots when pilots are like, look, a UFO, you know, that they might crash into each other or a mountain. So their concern then, you know, was that how do we train pilots not to freak out when they see a UFO, essentially. So that's kind of cool. They also made a lot of international news when they released a case that they felt was unexplained of some photographs that were taken by some miners in Chile that had seen a UFO. So most of these stories were written by Leslie Kane, who is a journalist and has close ties with them. She's also the author of the bestseller, New York Times bestseller, UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record.
Right. Now, we covered a little bit of this here and there. And I actually had Jose on right when you're talking about those miners. He was on right after that. And that is an interesting case. And the whole thing behind that, where they filmed it for a certain period of time, and it wasn't going to get out, but someone showed it to the foreman. It's a very interesting story, that whole thing. So actually, do you have a link to that that you sent me that will also be in the show notes?
I did. I sent you the link to the most recent story, which also has links to the others as well.
All right. Oh, I'm just throwing this in there because between stories here, I did want to say that, you know, we lost two people in the UFO field last year, both Terry Hansen and Roger Lear. Roger Lear I had on the show fairly recently, I believe. I think it was maybe late 2013. Seemed like a real gentleman. I'm sure you've probably had him on your show before.
I have. I met him with him quite often, seeing him around, and he had visited our offices. We did some special videos with him as well. And, really great guy. So he'll be missed. And, you know, another one I can think of is Dolores Cannon comes to mind.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I know the name. I can't.
Yeah, she was really interesting. She did regressions on people. And,
oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And felt she was speaking with extraterrestrials through her clients there, and wrote some books about it and stuff.
You know, you were talking just a minute ago about the countries are basically saying that, you know, they realize that UFOs are real. And to me, that's fascinating because I had lunch today with who I invited, a coworker. I'm involved in a startup company, and a coworker that I worked with is really, really into astronomy and science, and he's also a skeptic. And we, you know, we kind of went head to head over the UFO topic, and he is just, you know, it all goes back, and I understand exactly what he's saying. It all goes back to evidence. You know, what evidence do we have He likened something like, if he had a gumball machine and he said to me, you know, there's 1,000 or so gumballs in there, they're either odd or even, say yes or no. And I said, what are you saying? What are you trying to say to me? And he's saying, that's how, the same thing as saying that UFOs exist. You have no, you know, there's no conclusive evidence unless you look at it. So unless you count those gumballs, you can't answer. And unless you hold a piece of evidence in your hand, you can't answer that UFOs exist. That was his saying. But, you know, I forgot all about the fact that, you know, these countries are actually saying, yes, we are saying that UFOs exist. You know, that to me, that is a big deal. And that does mean a lot. It's not like it's you or me or whoever else in ufology. These are someone representing some part of a government, or, you know, these are important people in my eyes.
Yeah. Well, and now Peru has a group like this. Actually, Uruguay was the first to have a group, an official group. Now we have Chile, Argentina was supposed to have started one. So now there are a handful of official governmental organizations investigating this stuff. JPON is under CNES, which is their version of NASA. Others are, I think all of the others are under the military, the Air Force. So lots of different configurations. And that was why it was important for them to meet in North or South Carolina, wherever we were, and that's kind of where a lot of these relationships got started. So really cool stuff, and it's neat that we got to be there.
It really is, and it was really wonderful meeting all those people. You know, I, besides meeting you there and our connection that has been great, that was when I made the choice to go there, that just changed so much in, you know, what I do, actually. And that's why I really want to get out there to more conventions, and I definitely – I'm starting to make plans right now to see you out there at the UFO Congress this year. And we can actually talk about, you know, we don't have to stay completely stuck in 2014. We can talk a little bit about that. If you'd like to address that right now, why don't you just go into it, what is going on out there and who you have for speakers, the dates and all that.
You better come now because I won't talk to you again if you don't. How's that?
I am semi-permanently committed.
Yeah. So, well, there is some news around that for this year because Guinness World Records, the Book of Guinness World Records in 2014 said that we are the world's largest UFO convention. So they made that official. So that's some exciting 2014 news. And this is exciting. I mean, one of the topics that was kind of cool is Bob Lazar coming out and doing some interviews with George Knapp. He really has laid low and not talked about his stuff in a long time. And so now he's coming out to and it was because of that, you know, we kind of felt, hey, he's obviously got a lot more to say. Then George Knapp did a talk at MUFON that was very compelling that, you know, George or that Bob Lazar should not be written off. And so that sparked our talking to George about getting Bob Lazar to come to the UFO Congress. And it was really difficult. But luckily, I have a great relationship with George. That's why I'm on Coast to Coast with him fairly frequently. And so we got it to work out. So that's really exciting. But we have a lot of other good ones. You helped me get reconnected with the guys in Allegash, that had the experience in Allegash, Maine. And that's a great case. I've seen them talk before. And at least one of them will be coming. The other one is actually not feeling well. So we're probably going to have him on video and show him during the talk with Charlie Foltz.
Oh, Charlie's coming?
Charlie will be there.
Oh, so it's Jim.
Yeah, Jim is it's got some might not be able to make it. But
he had a terrible fall years ago, fell down in a hole and broke his back.
Oh, my gosh. That's how really?
That's how this whole thing came out. You'll hear this story. But that's how the whole thing came out because when he was recuperating in the hospital – someone gave him the book to read of Whitley Strieber's, and he saw that and he freaked out. What a great story that is, because that's when all reality hit him of what happened.
These guys are cool. These guys are really down to earth, really neat guys. So that's a fun one. I mean, there's just lots of really cool speakers that I'm very excited about that are going to be there. We'll have Richard Dolan. You've probably interviewed him. And, you know, everybody's always excited. He's put together a special talk just for the conference. Jaime Musan, as usual, people really like to see him. Jeremy Corbell, I don't know if you've interviewed him. Not many people know about him, but he's done some great documentaries. He'll be releasing at our conference finally, and he's going to be, I think, the next big thing. He's real good friends with George Knapp, and he's done some stuff in Vegas. Really cool guy, so this is going to be great. So a lot of really neat stuff coming up at the Congress. It's going to be really, really cool. Definitely no doubt worth it. And, you know, we work really hard. Well, you know how it is when we interview people. You get to know a lot of people and have your kind of thumb on the pulse of the field. And it gives us a unique perspective to know who's doing really cool stuff out there. So really, our conference is going to be full of those people doing cool stuff right now.
Now, I know you spoke up after I had Don Trumbull on the show. I'm sorry, Doug Trumbull on the show. You spoke to him not too long after. Did you actually consider thinking about inviting him eventually?
That would be great. He's a really busy fella. He is just, you know, a tech head who's in there filming his own projects, working on technology. Of course, he's working with Mark D'Antonio from MUFON on building some UFO detectors. So he's such an extremely busy guy. I figure I'm going to give it a go, but I'm not. It was hard enough for me to get this. I had been working with Mark for literally, I think, years to get an interview, and I finally gave up. And then you got an interview, so I was able to give Mark a guilt trip to try again. So that's how I got the interview. So, yeah.
That's
but,
funny.
Yeah, just – and I understand. I mean, I hold no grudge against Mark for that. I thank him, you know, very much for getting me the interview, because – he literally worked on my absolute favorite movies. I mean, he's responsible for some sci-fi special effects that have been a big influence on me. Sci-fi is my favorite genre, and Close Encounters, Blade Runner, Star Trek, you know.
Space Odyssey.
These, yeah, 2001. These are all my absolute favorite movies. So, really cool.
Amazing guy. Now, I plan to do a live show right from there, because the way the timing works, you're going to still have some things going on that Wednesday evening. And if I can rope some people in there, I'm going to have the live show. I'm going to have the live show from there regardless. But if I can rope some of the guests or speakers you have as guests, and do like a round robin, that would be just fantastic. I'd love to do something like that. We'll talk more as the time gets closer. But what are the dates?
That ought to be fun. So you're going to actually use a rope. So the audience, you'll be like, okay, I'm tossing my rope. I see Stanton Friedman walking. I got him, folks. I'm pulling him.
Yeah.
I'm pulling him to the table.
Well, I'll be out west in, you know, cowboy country. So
yeah, that's right. It
I'll
is
wear my
very
chaps and
western.
You know, get my lasso going and just rope them on in.
That is February 18th to the 22nd. You can go to the website at ufocongress.com and register. When you get there, you'll see that the host hotel is booked. That always books up really quickly because there's so many people that come. But don't worry. There are hotels that are just a couple blocks away, right around the corner, that you can stay at. So, and they have shuttles, so not a problem whatsoever.
Do me a favor, if you would. Can you send a link that I can put in the show notes so anyone listening can find out information for that? And
certainly.
And, you know, I need to find out the information myself because I haven't booked anything yet. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think I told you, I tell everybody, I stress on my show or all the time, book hotel early, because they do sell out. The hotel sells out quick, but the other ones are very nice. It's a very nice area.
Great. I cannot wait.
Yeah, wait till you see it. It's such a beautiful area.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's miserable back here in Maine, the state of Maine, up on the mountain. I'm the only one. I just drive. I'm not making this up. I drive just a couple of miles away. There's no snow, but up on the mountain where I live, there's plenty of snow.
And since you're up, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, as of right now, it's like 4 degrees outside.
Wow. Yeah. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just back in Colorado, and I do not miss the cold and the snow.
Yeah, yeah.
I put up a video of
us it was a riot.
Sledding, and that was terrible. I almost died from coldness. I had my little shoes, and
I knew we were going to get off topic, and that's
I had to wear my girlfriend's hat because I was not prepared for that. Well, that's the danger of not being able to edit. Okay, so let's get back into UFO stuff.
Yeah, but listen, since we're so far off topic, I'm just going to ask you, where in Colorado did you go?
Denver.
Denver, okay.
Centennial specifically, but the Denver metro area.
Yeah, I lived in Longmont, Colorado, and in the Boulder area, and really loved that's a beautiful state.
Yeah.
And you get down in the San Luis Valley, if I'm thinking, did I say that right? Is it San
Luis? Yeah, San Luis, that's where.
San Luis Valley.
Yeah.
Some awesome sightings down there, and we've talked to a few people on this show that do talk about the activity down there. It's pretty fascinating. But okay, since we're so far off topic, let's try to get ourselves back into the year 2014. What is next?
You know, I just to mention, because I've talked at more length on other shows about this, but you and I have already talked at length about this because it's a recent story. But the astrobiology thing and the more scientists that are certain that they have found in meteorites, for example, microbes from MARBS or the plankton on the ISS, just more and more scientists that are convinced that there is evidence, if not proof, for extraterrestrial life. I think that's a really big story in 2014 because there's been a lot of movement there, and there'll be more. In fact, my colleague Jason predicts that 2015 will be the year of an official discovery of some sort.
I tend to agree with Jason. And again, this was a lunchtime conversation between about, I think there was seven or eight of us together at a table. And we got into that. And one of the things I said, we are so close to actually announcing that there is life out there, you know, discovered out there. You know, the methane on Mars, all this stuff, you know, I'm going to go a little conspiratorial on you just for a second. Well, first, you know, we're always waiting to hear from the Mars rovers if, you know, there's some type of life, discovery of life. And you know, we don't hear anything. Then they had these – NASA was, you know, announcing these, like, press conferences, big deal and all that, and then it ended up being, you know, kind of deflated, nothing special. And then – the story comes out where you talk about all these universities are looking at these possible microbes inside of a meteor. And next thing you know, the next week, NASA finally says that there's, you know, this new discovery on from the rover.
I mean, the methane?
Yeah, the methane. It just kind of seems like they're getting nudged into actually, you know, it's very conspiratorial what I'm saying, but it's almost like they're getting nudged into actually talking more about what they're finding, you know?
Yeah. Well, since you went there, you know, last – at the UFO Congress last – this year, actually, we had – and it was one of the bigger stories. Actually, it went viral because Lee Spiegel was a part of it. But we had Richard Hoover, who is an astronaut biologist for NASA. He's since retired, but he works with this University of Buckingham, which is kind of an international group of astrobiologists that say they have, you know, lots of evidence, if not proof, for this. He says that, you know, a rover, I can't remember which, years ago, took pictures which they believe to be possibly fossils in a rock on Mars. And then the rover destroyed the rock, supposedly on accident. And he thinks possibly one of his colleagues did this on purpose because the guy disagreed with him. So he feels that in a sense was a cover up. So who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? And, you know, I think the information is coming at us sort of softly. Do you know what I mean? It's not, it's not going to be the big, huge surprise. I don't believe because, we're just getting little tidbits fed to us, and that may be purposely, it may not be. But I think that it's not going to, it's definitely not going to be a meltdown of society if they find.
Well, you know, we've got, microbes. Yeah, this year an astronomer who wrote about religion and the idea of extraterrestrial life. In fact, I've been lecturing on that this year because late last year I built a talk on that. And a lot of what I reference is the work of Dr. Ted Peters, who is a professor of theology, and he's done a survey to find out, are religions going to freak out? And essentially his survey said no, that people are pretty much going to be okay with it. They're not going to freak out at the level that some people say. Interesting enough, he found that it's really the atheists, people who identify themselves as atheists, who are saying religions are going to freak out. But when you look at it, they're really not going to have much of an issue. He was inspired, actually, by the work of John Alexander's wife, who did a more loosely done survey prior to his. And Ted Peters was more academically done to get better numbers around this stuff. But yeah, this guy who wrote the book recently had similar things to say, that most religions kind of have this in their religion. So people aren't really going to kind of – I think, you know, there's this fear that people are going to jump up and jump out of their windows and off cliffs and stuff. And we're probably going to be okay.
You know, I look at it myself and, you know, people are going to look at it differently. I'm trying to remember who said the saying something about – if we are alone or if we are not alone, both are equally terrifying. I'm really butchering
yeah.
it. But I personally am going to rejoice in the fact when it actually comes out that that there is evidence that there is life out there. I'm going to rejoice because I don't want to be alone. I don't want us to be alone.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And it doesn't really – I don't think it makes sense. And I think, you know, more people are kind of – even the atheists, the most skeptical groups of all, are kind of sitting back and thinking that just doesn't make sense that we'd be alone. The numbers yeah. just aren't there. And so, yeah, I think it's we've got some exciting times on that front ahead of us.
I do too. I do too. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, let's continue along here.
Okay. Well, let me bring up maybe a couple stories that are really cool ones that I haven't really talked about much elsewhere. The first one, because I love this one, is this Kirsan Alumzanov. Do you know who that is?
I think I would remember that name. No, I don't. Sorry.
Well, you should, because this guy, for many years, up until like 2010, was the president of one of the Russian city or one of the Russian states. He was elected. That was before now, you know, kind of akin to a mayor or actually more like a governor. But now Putin elects or puts, you know, all of them in position. But anyway, he was a he says that in the 90s, and he came out with this, and he's been very open. He's a millionaire, a self-made millionaire in this country that he was a president. And I'll look up the name of the country. I forgot for right now. Kalmykia. And this country is really interesting because it's in the western side of Russia, near Eastern Europe and the Middle East. However, it's a Buddhist country. It's the only Buddhist country in like the Eastern European area, which is weird because, you know, they're by the Middle East where there's lots of Islamic countries as well. But anyway, this guy is also the president of the International Chess Federation. He says that many years ago, he was abducted by aliens. That these aliens flew to his condo in Moscow and picked him up. They gave him this yellow uniform to wear. He couldn't breathe, so they motioned for him to adjust this dial on his uniform. So he did, and he could breathe. They flew around. They had to go pick up some equipment on one planet, so he was along for the ride for this. And then he said, hey, guys, I got to get back. I have a meeting tomorrow. And they said, okay, no problem. We'll get you back. And they took him back, and he says they just wanted, I think, just for me to see that they are peaceful and they're out there. And then once we're more evolved and peaceful, that they'll come and they'll hang out with us, essentially. And he's been saying this for a long time. They tried to – one of his opponents in the Russian government tried to get him in trouble and told Putin, hey, this guy says he was talking to aliens. How do we know he didn't give away any official government secrets? You know, do we have some law against that? And Putin kind of blew him off because Putin's friends with this guy. So he's not president anymore. But the reason why this is important is this International Chess Federation, which is a worldwide organization, the biggest deal in chess.
Yes.
He was up for re-election for his presidency. And, of course, his opponent was saying this guy's crazy. You know, he's into aliens and all of this stuff. But Kyrgyzstan won. So he's still the president of this organization and has been for like 20 years. So he got in the news again because he won presidency once again. And a funny thing is he thinks maybe chess is from space and created by extraterrestrials because he says the laws for chess are the same in every country. And he thinks that's evidence that it's ET related. So I think this is cool. This is an important character in world affairs. In fact, there's a picture of him playing chess with Gaddafi months before Gaddafi was killed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, wasn't it if I have it right, and I'm trying to remember the name of the – I want to say Blue something, Blue Max, the computer that played the – chess champion. What didn't that?
Oh yeah.
Didn't they play against Russian? Someone from Russia was really like one of the top chess champions in the world or something. Blue Max or what the heck was that thing?
I don't. You know. I know what you're saying because it's even like a test, an AI type of test where. You know, if AI can beat a human playing
right.
computer,
yeah.
then that means the computers are about ready to take over the world or something like that. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I guess he beat Garry Kasparov.
Okay. So, yeah, that was Deep Blue was the name.
And you know how I know?
Uh-uh.
It's not because I'm a genius. It's because I've got Google here in front of me. But interesting enough, this Garry Kasparov – who lost, he is the world chess champion, and he's the guy who is running against Kyrgyzstan to be president of the Chess Federation. So there is a link there, but he lost.
How about that? Yeah, that is that's kind of an over-the-top statement for someone like him to make.
It's, yeah.
It really is.
Well, and
wild.
What's interesting is Kasparov got upset over this election because Putin came to an event for Kyrgyzstan supporting him and, you know, doing some photo ops, which helped Kyrgyzstan get reelected as the Chess Federation president. So he was mad that Putin, the Russian government, was supporting Kyrgyzstan. But it's interesting that Putin, well aware of this extraterrestrial issue, still is friends with Kyrgyzstan and supports him.
Now, it seems to me it was maybe 2 years ago there was some type of a Russian politician that went on the record about UFOs. Do you recall that?
I think there was a German in the EU that was pushing something, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well,
yeah,
like I said,
sorry.
I'm doing this live and there's no editing.
Yeah.
So this is the real us.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry
to. Yeah, it's a real
Happy New Year. Sorry. All
right. Yeah.
All right. So what else? What else did you dig into? You said you had another. You had more than one story that you didn't talk about.
Yeah, here's one I didn't talk about at all with others, and I think it's one. We'll see if you're aware of it because this is a really fun one too. This is William Shatner, who says he knew the abduction researcher John Mack. And that he's going to write a book based on John Mack's work.
I had no idea about this.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's cool. Isn't this interesting?
That is really something. Now, there's a lot of people involved in things like this. You know, there's a guest I had on last year that I want to say her name is Diane. I can't remember her name. That's actually, you know, putting together a movie about John Mack as well. So,
yeah, that's right. There's a book going on about it.
Yeah, so this is really great. That's quite amazing. Shatner's mm-hmm. something else. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going. You know.
Yeah.
He's getting on in age. And,
yeah.
And I know someone that sold his kidney stone. I'm not kidding.
Shatner?
Yes, he went on. This is kind of a funny story. He was on a talk show. I want to say Jimmy Kimmel's or something. And this auctioneer friend of mine in Beverly Hills happened to be watching, and it was either his kidney stone or something. He had it in a little vial in the talk, you know, during the talk show, and was holding it up and like laughing. Well, this auctioneer contacted him somehow through his publicist or whatever and said, "I want to sell that at auction." He got something like $70,000 for it.
You're kidding.
No, and the money went to benefit. Actually, it went to some type of charity or something. But
wow.
Isn't that crazy, huh?
Wow, that's really wild. Yeah, but this is cool. So Shatner originally told Larry King about this, that he was going to do a book about alien abduction. And then the Dallas Observer asked him more about it. And he said the UFO book came from the work of a once tenured Harvard professor and psychiatrist named John E. Mack, who concluded after interviewing more than 200 subjects who claimed that they were abducted by aliens, that they were telling the truth. Mack died as a result of a hit-and-run accident before he could complete his work, but he finished a thesis on the subject, and Shatner thought it would be worth turning it into a book. So that's from The Observer. And then the quote from Shatner is that he, John Mack, died 10 years ago leaving this thesis, and given all that we know and what we've discovered through observation, there are strange, mysterious things at work in the universe that we can't even imagine, and UFOs may be part of that.
Wow. That is pretty cool.
Yeah, really cool. So that's something interesting to look forward to. I'm not sure when this book will come out, but maybe in 2015. But yeah, how interesting is that?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we talked about this one moving on because you mentioned Jimmy Kimmel, and that was, of course, Bill Clinton talking to Jimmy Kimmel.
I don't know if we did. I know that I brought it up, but I can't remember if I brought it up on one of the podcasts or not. But, yeah, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
So that's really cool because he, you know, talked about UFOs, and Kimmel said, you know, "I'd look into UFOs, did you?" Clinton said he sort of did. He looked into the Area 51 alien rumors and everything. And he kind of said, you know, there may be life out there. He hopes it's not like Independence Day and that they're nice guys. But what's interesting, and I don't know if you saw this, that Ben Hansen from Fact or Fake did a voice analysis.
And there was some stress.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Because first of all, Jimmy Kimmel – the first thing he even says, I think it's the very first thing he says to Clinton, is, "Hey, if I was president, the first thing I would do is check to see if there were UFOs and aliens."
Yeah.
You know, that's how he opened the interview with him, put him right on the spot.
And Ben Hansen was able to tell that Bill Clinton was stressed because Bill Clinton wet himself when Jimmy Kimmel asked him that question. Just kidding. Just kidding.
And I told you I'm not editing.
I know. That's like, yeah, you can't take that out. But actually, Ben Hansen did say that Clinton showed signs of significant apprehension, stress, and guarded behavior. He admits he can't say why Clinton may have been stressed. There's different reasons why that might be. I know Ben Hansen very well. I've seen him talk on this, and we've talked at this on length. But he says that, you know, it's possible that Clinton knows more than he can reveal. It's also possible that Clinton wants to know more but was denied the information. And those are some of the possibilities. A lot of people argue, well, he knew most likely what Kimmel was going to ask him, so any stress must be related to something like that. Who knows? But, yeah, it's really interesting. I think what's interesting, of course, I think I said this on – Coast to Coast, but that there have been quotes from Bill Clinton, such as in Hong Kong, where he said, you know, things like when he talked about UFOs, I didn't find anything. They told me there was nothing to it. But I wouldn't be the first president that career bureaucrats have lied to.
Hmm.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I thought, you know, I thought Clinton was really, the whole situation was really interesting when he actually attempted to get somewhere with it. And I can't remember the name of the person that he was having actually look into it deeper for him. I wish I did a little research before we did the show. But
oh, there was Hubble.
That's right. That's
his
right.
Friend. Yeah, exactly. He asked.
Yep.
Who didn't find anything, I guess.
Right. But isn't – I believe there is a picture somewhere on the internet of the Clintons walking with Rockefeller holding
– There is one, and that was – I got to kind of release that story because it was actually done by Tonio Cusin. I'm probably saying his name wrong, but a researcher who had found this and posted it in a forum – and he let me post it as a story. But, yeah, it's Hillary Clinton talking with Lawrence Rockefeller, holding a book from Paul Davies, who is with SETI, and it's about extraterrestrial life and if it exists, that sort of thing. And we all know Lawrence Rockefeller funded some UFO initiatives and was really into the topic and was wrote some letters to get the Clintons to talk about UFOs. So that might have been some of their discussion.
Right, right. Really fascinating.
Yeah, very much so.
Yep. And, you know, there was one thing that I don't believe you – I know you and I haven't talked about it. But from what I understand, Will Smith's son was actually in Obama's office and asked him about aliens. Did you ever hear anything about that?
Yeah, that was one of our biggest stories, actually. That story went viral. Of course,
really?
Other people did it.
That was a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, and but not much. Let's see. I think it's even on our front page because it's in our most popular stories. So what happened, I think, is somebody, maybe even Will Smith, posted it on his Facebook. We couldn't tell who did it, but Facebook brought us tons and tons of traffic on this story. But, yeah, essentially what happened is first his dad, well, Will Smith, told the story first. He said that we went to go visit the president when we were in the Situation Room. I told my son, don't ask him about UFOs. I know you're into it. Just don't do it. And his son did it anyway, and he laughed about it. And that was his story. Well, yeah. A few months later – Jaden Smith talked about it because somebody asked him, well, what did you tell the president? And it's funny because Jaden Smith said, well, I wanted to ask the president. So when we got in the Situation Room, I said, are aliens real? And Obama looked at him and smiled and said, I can neither confirm nor deny their existence. And so Jaden Smith said, to me, that means they're real. He confirmed to me they're real. He just couldn't say it. So, yeah, pretty funny.
I'm sure he was joking, you know, Obama.
I think Obama was joking, yeah. But I think Jaden Smith was serious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. And, yeah, that is a pretty funny situation. And Will Smith being in, well, God, I'm forgetting.
Independence Day.
Yeah. He drags the alien out and
pretty funny
knocks him
stuff.
In the head. Said he stinks or something. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fun. So what else has happened that comes to mind?
Well, here's one that I'll talk about, and I didn't really read a whole lot, but whoever wrote this story, was it me? This was written by Epic Times, and they let us repost it. But the WikiLeaks did have some UFOs and ET files, but they weren't as exciting as people thought. Of course,
you mean actually did? You know, there was all those rumors about it.
There were rumors about it, and I think Assange even had some sort of comment on it, but it was really like something like, oh, yeah, there's some UFO idiots or something like that had something in there. It was really disparaging.
Hmm.
But they're not as exciting as you think. One of them's kind of exciting, but they were essentially just references to UFOs, kind of news story clippings. So one of them talked about a prominent Lithuanian politician who said UFOs directed by Russians to exert influence. So kind of a news story about this weird Lithuanian politician who said that the Russians are using ETs essentially. And they think he was kind of joking around and being silly. But there were also stories on the Raelians. There was some clips on, you know, just some talk about the Raelians. And then there was another story, and this one's kind of more interesting. The Belarusian Minister of Defense wrote about in a cable about Japan's Chief Cabinet Secretary Makimura, who believes that extraterrestrials have flown UFOs near the Earth, and just this guy who really believes in UFOs that is part of the Japanese government. And that was about it. So it wasn't really anything groundbreaking, but we did find out this year that there were some UFO WikiLeaks.
You know, there's so many documents that they have, and the same thing with Snowden. You know, it keeps coming out also over and over again that he found UFO documents and, you know, it's a hoax or whatever. But there's just so many things to go through, you know, that, are, you know, classified documents, for instance, to go through, that I don't even know how you'd find something unless it was all electronic and you could search that way. It just seems like there's no other way. You can't sort through a mountain of papers to find the word, you know, UFO, or they could be calling it something else. A bogey.
Yeah.
A bogey. Yeah.
A boogie.
A bogey or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You know, one of the big stories this year was Rendlesham Forest, not just the book coming out, but, you know, I think we talked about this, John Burroughs doing some work to find out that he had found this in the past, that his military records, he's a witness to the Rendlesham Forest UFO with other military witnesses in the UK. He was a U.S. airman at the time, and his military records, including his medical records, had disappeared. This was a concern for him because he has heart problems that he believes and has been told may be related to possible exposure to radiation. So he thought it was related possibly to the UFO, and they said you weren't even in the military at that time. Of course, he was. He was able to petition different politicians, including John McCain. John McCain's office was able to correct that to show he was in the military, which he was.
I'm sorry to sort of cut in here, but we did have John on just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay, okay,
went
okay.
Through all this, but just a little follow up from that. It's one of the most downloaded shows. I had actually General, Colonel Halt in him, and they kind of hashed out a couple of things there. And then there was some.
Oh, that's right.
I'm telling you, that show has just absolutely gone viral.
Wow,
it really
good.
Has. So it, you know, that is interesting. And
but related to files.
Exactly.
If I can move to another story, you know, he's getting the MOD files released, but another good story related to files is John Greenwald with the Black Vault, mm-hmm. who petitioned the NSA. They had to release. It was part of a big lawsuit by Kaz and Peter Gersten to release some UFO files. They finally did, but these files were heavily redacted. Most everything's whited out. And Stanton Friedman shows a file from this case that's all blacked out. Greenwald went in to say, hey, now you can, you know, unwhite out some of those and give us more information on those files. The NSA finally got back to him and said, sorry, we lost them.
Right.
So the NSA says they lost all their UFO files, these files that were the centerpiece of a big it was a media event where they were getting sued for these files. And how crazy is that?
That is absolutely insane.
Very frustrating.
Yeah. You know, I think this is just about going to do it for the first hour here.
Okay.
And again, you know, thank you so much for this this recap. And we'll be talking next week. But thanks for all your hard work. I get a lot of email from listeners that say they just really enjoy you on the show, and I want to give a special thanks to you for all that you've done.
Well, it's my absolute pleasure. It's been great getting to know you, and I love being part of the show. So it's my pleasure. Thank you for doing what you do.
Again,
you're a good kid.
Thanks. And so that's it for this part of the show. We have Andy Fleming, and he'll be coming up with his view on 2014 and ufology. Then we have clips from a number of different people from 2014. If you want to listen to the full show, all you have to do is subscribe for $1 or more a month on getjoyride.com. And if you go on our website, Podcast UFO, all the information's right there. I want to thank everyone for listening today, and I want to thank Alejandro Rojas. I want to thank the people that participated in the Minipad Eye Contest. Thanks so much for that, and congratulations to the winner. I want to give Peggy Shunning a big thank you for helping out for 2014, making our Facebook page what it is today. It's awesome. I want to thank Keith Rowland, the producer of the Dark Matter Radio Network. And I also want to thank all the great guests that we had in 2014. And most of all, I want to thank you, the listener. Thanks so much for spending your time with us and listening wherever you are, driving in your car. People tell me they're folding their laundry or doing their laundry. A woman wrote me she was decorating her Christmas tree. All good stuff. Thanks so much, and we'll see you right here in 2015 next week live on the Dark Matter Radio Network. Keep your eyes to the sky.